Hello, everyone, and welcome to the No Frills Teacher podcast. This is episode 11, Come Together, with my special guest, Stephen McGinley. Stephen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey Joe, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So I'm really excited about this evening because you're actually the first guest on this podcast. And wow, what a guest to have. We're talking over here, 2022 Foundation for Lee County Public Schools Golden Apple recipient, 2023 Schools District of Lee County Teacher of the Year. What is there you have not accomplished yet?
Well, it's been a pretty wild past year and a half or so, but I'll tell you that you had a big influence on this journey that I've been on. A couple of years ago, we were at Collegium together. My principal, Alex Dorzanski, was a Golden Apple recipient in 2008, and he was a presenter at Collegium the year that we were there together. And so, between you and him, the following year, you guys really urged me to go ahead and apply for the Golden Apple program and go through the process. And I did that, and I was fortunate enough to be selected as one of the recipients there. And so I want to thank you for, the impact that you kind of had on me and my career and the advice that you gave me along the way. It's really, been a humbling experience, both between Golden Apple and then being the School District of Lee County Teacher of the Year.
Well, I can tell you those are definitely both well deserved. Truly, when we say, there's somebody that gets some sort of recognition, which we know as educators is few and far in between getting recognized for accomplishments and contributions to what we do in our schools and with our students. And I say this, and I'm being completely, truthful and honest. There's perhaps no one more deserving than you for the recognition you have received these past 2 years. Now you got to go for the hat trick. I don't know what's left next year, but hey, you got to go for the hat trick on something, right?
Right, yeah, I'm not sure what that's going to be, but maybe we can look into it.
It. Maybe you could moonlight as a paraprofessional or something, or substitute teachers. You could get guest teacher of the year as well next year.
Right. I think we went through the grading process on that, scoring the rubrics this year, so I think we have a little upper hand
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
there.
Well, I gotta say though, and thank you, by the way, for the kind words. And when I did meet you at Collegium for summer 2021, that was hosted by the Foundation for Lee County Public Schools, it was an absolute pleasure. And when I, met you and your team, I knew right away. It's like, this is the real deal. This is, just a good guy down there, passionate about teaching, passionate about his students and, the well-being of the students. And I think that's something that made us click, early on, and I've kind of been cheerleading for each other since then.
Yeah, I agree. And, I think we're going to talk a little bit about bringing teachers and educators together, bringing students together, and how we do that in a post-pandemic world. But I'll tell you that, personally, I'm actually pretty antisocial. I kind of stay to myself. My wife and I and our daughter usually hang out together. But I can tell you that participating in Collegium for that week, I really got to meet a lot of different people that I'm still friends with today. And the experience that Marshall Bauer sets up, for, 30 different educators every summer. And there really is a focus on networking, becoming friends, in addition to all the professional development that you get. And when he told us that in the introduction meeting and on the first day that we got there to Captiva Island, I wasn't really sure what to think of that. But as we eat every meal together, as some of the veteran people like you who are a winner were very polite to everybody, made sure everybody was having a good time. That's just a great way for educators to network together and really build long-lasting relationships with each other.
I completely agree. It's so important to network with fellow educators, and it's that collaboration. And it does feel like there's something that's been missing, since COVID, post-COVID. And just kind of as a little bit of background for our listeners, we're going to get into that. I know this is your 10th year, correct? That you have finished, that you're finishing up your 10th year of teaching?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And currently you are at Heinz Marsh Middle School in Lee County, and 8 years at Heinz Marsh Middle, where you have taught 7th grade civics, 8th grade U.S. history, And I know you spent some time working for the school district, Lee County, in the district office as an instructional coach, and currently you are a peer collaborative teacher. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Can you go into a little bit, maybe perhaps explain what your role is as a peer collaborative teacher and kind of tie it back into how it does support teachers and allows you to network with others?
Yeah, absolutely. And so the peer collaborative teacher is a role where you spend 50% of your time with instruction, so in your own classroom, and the other 50% coaching and supporting teachers. And so I've had the opportunity outside of the classroom to go and, be in teachers' rooms, participate in PLCs. And you kind of understand that sometimes teachers really feel like they're at on an island to themselves. Departments can be silos. And so I've really kind of come to place a great emphasis on what can we do to bring teachers together to truly be a community. How do we celebrate teachers so they come to work every day happy and give the kids their best? And so that's something that I've really focused on, and the peer collaborative teacher role has allowed me to do that because some of the time I have outside of the classroom.
And I think that's definitely an excellent position I have, role to have in this school, because there are teachers that often do keep to themselves. Sometimes it's because they're uncomfortable reaching out, or sometimes they just are unaware of the resources that are available to them and what you could bring to help support them, and colleagues. Now, as a Golden Apple recipient, a big part of that, as well as I know from being a former Golden Apple recipient in 2021, is networking. You are representative of Teachers of the County, which for us is the school, Lee County, Florida.
Right.
Obviously, as a 2023 Teacher of the Year as well, you're kind of the face of the district. So, did you feel that both of those opportunities provided you an avenue to network with educators beyond your current work location?
Yeah, it has to some extent. I really tried to do a good job building relationships, really across the district. We've just recently, since the hurricane began, my wife and I, fostering our two nephews, and we've got my youngest nephew in at Sunshine Elementary. And so, when you walk in there, the assistant principal there immediately recognized me. And so I've built a relationship with her. She's amazing. And so as I've kind of been at different events across the district, talking to new teachers, aspiring teachers, I had the opportunity to really interact with and start to make relationships with a lot of people across the district. I would say also just, my experience as an instructional coach at the district level, and traveling to, schools every day and working with MPLCs has kind of broadened the scope in which I'm able to kind of have an influence as well.
So I got a question for you. We had
Sure.
mentioned a little while ago, I believe you had mentioned briefly about post-COVID, and have you noticed or have you observed a need, or that something is missing since we kind of went through, we're, I guess we call it now, post-COVID, part of teaching, or this time, in our lives. Do you feel like there's something that has changed, or something that's missing, or something that we need to kind of return to?
Yeah, and it's just I think for me at least, it's more of an like an intuition that I have here that things have changed both in the classroom and outside of the classroom. My brother is an eighth grade science teacher, and he's one of the most lively people I know. Pre-COVID, I would always walk into his classroom, and it's good to be talking with each other, doing a lot of collaborative pairs and different cake and stuff, and post-COVID, I've noticed that he's gotten away from some of those things, as well as many other teachers as well. I think a lot of the social distancing and safety protocols really inhibited our ability as educators to really like foster collaborations and that social interaction that students need. But on the teacher side as well, PLCs were Zoom, on Zoom. There wasn't a lot of interactions between teams, and I think that since COVID, there's been a nationwide teacher shortage, and so the turnover and teachers leaving the profession, and so now we're living in schools where the teachers are just now starting to get to know each other, and we're coming out of COVID where we need to learn to kind of get together and socialize better. And I do think that's primarily accomplished in a lot of ways within the professional learning community, and then also intentionally fostering that outside of the classroom as well.
And I think that, once again, I'm in total agreement with that. I think going through a PLC, and each school is different. With if they are PLC, how they run a PLC, and sometimes teachers will moan and groan over, summer break when they return back to school for that preschool week of, oh, here's another icebreaker. Oh, I can't believe admin's making us do that. I already know what color M&M my personality is, and all those things. And, but seriously, though, if you think about it deep down, those are things that are valuable because, like you're saying, there's so many new people that come on staff because of the shortage, and as it's revolving door sometimes at a school of new faces that you don't really get to know your colleagues except for what, 4 or 5 days in the summer. Then you run back and you set up your classrooms and you'll see each other again until the Christmas party mid-year.
It makes it tough. It does. I can tell you that my principal, Alex Dorzanski, has done an absolutely great job in fostering that environment, because that's what it is. It's the environment and the culture of the school. And so our motto is one team, one family. And so he does a lot of different things just in our daily lives as educators to make sure that we are acting as a family. One of the big projects, for example, that we're working on for this year is our Unsung Hero project. And like you mentioned, teachers aren't always recognized and celebrated for the work that they do in the ways that they should be. And so it's important to him that we're really celebrating our teachers, because if you're in a coaching role like me, I'm more visible and it's easier for me to be celebrated. It's much more difficult for a teacher who is in a classroom for, seven and a half hours a day with their doors closed to be celebrated.
Yeah,
And so we're
absolutely.
working on ways that we can kind of start celebrating those unsung heroes for all the lessons that they put forth every day that are amazing, for the things that they do for their students. And so we're developing a program there called Unsung Heroes, and I think it's going to be great. And I really hope that it has an impact at our school to let them know that every teacher at our school is seen and cared for.
I love that, and I really hope that that spreads like wildfire because that's something that teachers need. When you look at those exit surveys of teachers that leave within the first 5 years of the profession, oftentimes when you look at the data, it's teachers just didn't feel supported, typically, usually by admin administrators, in addition to other factors that weigh in on decisions to leave the profession. But oftentimes it's due to them just not feeling supported. It could be by the school
Sure.
administration, could be by district personnel, and that's something that I think needs to change. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that.
I absolutely do. It's funny that you mentioned that stat. I was sitting in the cafeteria on Thursday, I think it was Thursday, with my principal and assistant principal, Alex Rosansky and Sam Hauer. And we were kind of talking about how we really have a solid foundation with our Apples program, which is the program that the district puts on for first year teachers. Where we don't do as good of a job is our year 2 to 5 teachers. And like you mentioned, it's about 50% of teachers leave the field by year 4 or 5. So in addition to that Unsung Hero program that we're really launching coming into this next year, we're also going to develop another program. We haven't put a name to it yet, but it's going to be specifically designed and geared towards years 2 to 5 teachers, really probably closer to 2 to 3 teachers. We'll have monthly professional development. We'll have other ways to celebrate them. We'll make sure that they still feel supported as they're learning and growing in their own and in their own right as educators.
And that's something that's definitely overlooked. We talk about supporting new teachers, first year teachers, and then it seems like I know this is now my 18th year that I'm wrapping up, and after my first year, I was on my own. It seems like we only focus typically on a first year teacher, and it's like, oh, you graduated the Apples program, so to speak, and now here you go. Here's the keys, to the kingdom. And these teachers are still just barely staying afloat, and they're still in survival mode. And I love the idea that you had mentioned that your school is looking at supporting years 2 through 5 because really it's not a one and done with supporting these teachers. It's a process, and I believe it does take time. It takes years. I didn't feel my I didn't find my footing really until honestly it felt like year 7 at this point. I mean,
I tell new teachers that all the time. The first year, I was just trying to survive, like nothing more than that. My second year, and in many cases, I felt like I was just kind of babysitting the students, They were learning some, but not much beyond that. It wasn't until my third year. It was in December, right before we went to winter break. And I was like, wow, my kids are truly learning. And it changed my perspective on education. And as a teacher for the rest of my life, I fell in love with teaching. That day that I looked out into my classroom and knew that these kids truly can discuss government, they can discuss responsibilities and rights of citizenship. They could go and have a conversation with any of our local congressmen or congresspeople. They could go home to their parents and kind of discuss politics of the day and current events. And it was that moment there that I said, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
It's a pretty amazing feeling when once you get that, and kind of, you found your purpose, you found your why, so to speak.
Sure.
We throw that out there a lot, like, my why, but when you know it, like, and you feel it, it's pretty remarkable, honestly. And I've
Yeah.
seen you with your students through instructional videos. I remember last summer. We at my own school, at the Sanibel School, we were watching during preschool week you teaching your students a video of you doing, I believe, whole brain teaching. And of course, I'm over
Sure.
there, like, bumping people next to my elbows, like, yeah, I know that guy. And like, I'm like, oh, no, I know. Like, yeah, sure, Joe, whatever. Like, not really, I know. He's a good guy. I work at the gym. And it was amazing just to see you doing, your lessons. Yeah, like I said, I believe it was whole brain, you were doing with your students. And to see the rapport you have with them and to see the interactions with your kids and how engaged your students were in the activity you were doing with them and just the mutual respect with, amongst peers and, with, yourself as the educator, the teacher. And I know it kind of gets to building relationships. And before I get into building relationships with your students, there was something
Sure.
that I was wondering, we talk about supporting teachers within the class and, the need to network and reconnect as Yeah, and what we've been talking about, tonight. But also, do you feel that there's a need for us to reconnect on a personal level, outside of the classroom with our
Right.
colleagues?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, if I could just take a step back here just for a second. And
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
just a little bit more of a high level overview of kind of what we're actually trying to accomplish going into the next year. And so my principal had this idea because we've also focused on, supporting new teachers or relatively new teachers, years 2 to 5. Alongside of that though, is we have teachers who are doing just a really great job, but just haven't had leadership experiences. And so my principal, so like I said, as a peer collaborative teacher, I'm provided with just, operations, discipline, academic, all these different leadership opportunities that have me really well prepared for something that I might want to do in the future, whether that's move into an administrative position, whether I want to, take a district level position. I'll be well suited for that because of the experiences I've had. And so we've kind of decided that, like, some of the coaches, might need to take a step back a little bit. And we've formed this leadership academy. Where we've selected 10 teachers for our initial cohort, and my principal's kind of vision for this is to make sure we're giving all of those people leadership experiences. So it's our department heads, our career bridge members, and just some up and coming teachers that are just passionate about getting involved. But within that program, what we've decided, to your point about connecting outside of the classroom and more personally, and so what we're going to do, it's actually going to be my wife who's leading that group there. We will have, say, at the beginning of PLCs, we're going to have different minute to win it games. We're working on developing cross-department PLCs so departments can get to know each other. And then beyond that, we want to start hosting events both in the school. You've got the Easter egg hunts, the turkey bowling, but also outside of school. I think that our math team is going to go do an escape room and things of this nature. And so we really are working on having more regularly scheduled events for people to attend to kind of get to know each other rather than, like you said, you see each other during pre-week and then you see each other at the Christmas party in December. And so we are trying to actively work towards, connecting personally more than we have in the past.
And that really is so important. I'm a big believer in, connecting on a personal level and networking with educators outside of the classroom. Myself personally, years ago, I partnered up with Employee Wellness, which is part of the School District of Lee County, and I would organize and run co-ed basketball and co-ed volleyball, and even one year I did co-ed kickball, but we kept having lightning delays, so that was a one and done. But
Right.
it was something that wasn't done before, and I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to run the leagues, and we would play on Tuesday evenings and Thursday evenings at different sites, and the turnout was pretty amazing. We'd have up to 100 educators come out and join these leagues, and they were free for district personnel and spouses. So it was a good way to meet families. It was significant others, spouse, people that normally wouldn't interact with each other often during the day, whether it be janitorial
Right.
or custodial, cafeteria, paraprofessional, classroom instructor, administrator. Sometimes we'd have teams combined from various schools that needed like a free agent team, and it was pretty remarkable to see teachers just kind of unwind, but also at times talk a little shop while in the middle of the game or something like that, and just share these ideas, but in a more relaxed atmosphere with no pressure. It wasn't like being at a district training or some sort of PD, and it's kind of very rigid. Rigid. It was more laid back. It was pretty awesome. It was so awesome until I 5 years ago tore my bicep tendon off playing
Oh my
volleyball.
gosh.
It was because I have no form, as I was
Oh.
called by my wife, who played volleyball.
Right. Is she a volleyball player?
she played before. So I had no technique, no form. So tore off the right tendon, and then the following season I tore my left tendon. And
Oh
then
my
my wife said she
gosh.
was, and my wife said she was going to divorce me if I played again. So that was the end of my playing days in volleyball.
Now, did you get
But
workman's comp for that?
no, because I had to create the waiver for the district, and I signed my own waiver.
Okay.
So
Hey,
no,
and if
so I
I'm.
could, so there's no workman's comp. I had to wear an arm brace to my arm locked at 90 degrees at all times for 3 months. So I'm, and it was my right, so I tore my right one first, and then I am a righty. So I'm trying to teach using my left hand for everything while my right arm is locked at 90 degrees. What a bunch of fourth
Oh my
graders.
goodness.
And it was an experience to say the least. And at least the kids felt sorry for me, so they went easy on me that year. But aside from self-inflicted injury because I'm not athletic, it was just the overall like I said, experience of connecting and networking with educators outside of the classroom, just on a personal level, getting to know them, getting to know their families, their children would come. And of course, COVID put a halt to all that, beyond injuries and things like that. But just overall, the district has not done anything like that since COVID until we this past December. I had organized a flag football fundraiser in partnership with Lee County Foundation for Lee County Public Schools and Employee Wellness to raise money for Hurricane Ian relief. But and it was great to come back to that. But once again, like kind of what we're talking about, I feel that's something that's missing that is significant. Teachers reconnecting, personally and professionally. So I guess. I'm sorry. I was going to say that, obviously you're fantastic at networking and building relationships, through various, things you do within your school and the community. But what I'm really impressed by is the relationships you build with your students. How have you gone about doing that, especially, once again, post-COVID?
Sure, absolutely. And if you don't mind, I just want to say thank you for, and you accomplished, your task with the Flag Football League. I know that it was designed as, hurricane relief after Ian, but I'll tell you that the impact that it had on teachers just from the perspective of networking and developing relationships with each other was great. We had two teams of teachers from Harnes Marsh participate in that, and they came back, talking trash to each other, and this went on for a matter of weeks, and so even I felt that impact at our school. I'm like, gosh, I should have gotten a team together. You guys should have invited me. I wanted to be a part of it, and so I know that they had a lot of fun with it. So thank you for doing that. It was really a hit, I think, for people.
No, my pleasure. It was an awesome experience.
Sure. But to answer your question, as far as how I build relationships inside the classroom, I think a lot of it starts, to tell you the truth, like outside of the classroom. When I see students in the hallway, I'm always saying hi to them. When they come into my room, I'm always giving them, high fives, fist bumps, asking them how they're doing. I think it's important that they see you in a positive light outside the classroom as well. And so I really make it a point, when I'm in the hallways, just to be very aware. And to see students, because they want to, if they've got, a nice, got a new haircut, or you see they got a new pair of shoes, or, if they look down, whatever you happen to notice that day, I think it's important to be aware to that and then respond to it. So I think it really does start there. Within the classroom, I really balance, I have extremely high expectation when it comes to academics. However, I really always say love first, teach second. And when you truly love the kids, the content will come. And so we do that in a lot of different ways. I've got a game that I play in my classroom. I don't know if I should be mentioning on this podcast, but I'm going to. It's called Silent Ball, but it's not really Silent Ball. I developed it my first year of teaching. I went in to, as a guest teacher, and it was a sixth grade science classroom, I think. It was Miss Carson Drew. And the kids asked if they could play silent ball, and I had no idea what that was. I was a career changer. And so they got the beach ball, and they were, kind of throwing it around silently. And so when I got to my classroom, I'm like, okay, we're gonna have to spice this up a little bit. And so what we ended up doing was you didn't have to be silent, and it was more kind of like, it's more like volleyball. Like they're not spiking it. They're not allowed to do that, but they hit the ball. They're not catching it, they're hitting it. You hit, if you hit the roof, you're out, or the floor, you're out. And just about every 5 seconds, somebody goes out. And, it's just, the room's just really like electric when we play silent ball. But it's just a really great way. I'll get in there and play with them as well, And so they see you in there. If they take the teacher out, they go around and tell their friends. And so I think that it's a combination of having high expectations for student learning. Like you do have to have that, but then also loving kids and making sure you have time to get to know them within class, in the classroom.
As you were mentioning, I'm kind of chuckling to myself because I could visualize the kids playing it and just like that beehive of activity and high energy that I could see and visualize taking place in your classroom with that and the your students loving that. And I think it is important, and I agree that you have to build those relationships with those students first, worry about academics second, and things will work out the way they'll work out in the end, as long as the kids know that you're there for them and you care for them, and you do have the expectations that you expect the best version of themselves, whatever that may be each day, they're going to perform for you at the end, whatever level they're at.
Yeah,
Just my two
absolutely.
cents. Yep.
Sure. I'm kind of curious, because you're a great educator yourself. What are the type of things that you do within your classroom to build those relationships?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because the same thing, pre-COVID, I felt like I did a lot more hands-on activities with the kids. A lot of integrating of technology with my students, and I had a green screen where my students would be reporters on site and have these amazing
Wow.
backdrop backdrops and things like that, and we would take these virtual reality field trips with iPods and things like that and VR headsets that I had, and the kind of
Sure.
then of course COVID put a halt to many of those things. What I do now with the kids more so, it's just a lot of collaborative learning with them, and
Right.
I step back and I let my students take the lead in their learning, and I just facilitate discussion with them. And
Sure.
they'll, like fifth graders do, because I teach fifth grade, language arts and social studies, US history. It kind of goes off the rails with the kids and what they do
Right.
in the conversation. And I kind of got to rein them back in. But just to see them, their personalities come out in their conversations and the silly things that they do and they say, it's just a very welcoming atmosphere. And
Yeah.
it's non-threatening where the kids are able to be vulnerable and their silly side comes out. And I felt that that's been, I guess, a recipe, if you will, for success with me personally.
Sure.
But it's because the kids knew that is once again high expectations of what I expect of them, because I give the best version of myself to them every day too. But it's a very laid back, relaxed atmosphere, where we could all be kind of, like I said, vulnerable and just put ourselves out there and just have fun and just be ourselves. Today. I'm probably, you know, one of the biggest, you know, kids in the classroom. my students. So
right.
First now, when I'm talking about playing, you know, a PS5 game with my students, or, you know, what kind of videos they're watching on, you know, TikTok or whatever, and trying to teach me how to do dances. It's just a good time. I'm terrible at those things, but it's a good time. Well, I got to tell you though, you know, you mentioned the game, and one thing I do love also, you know, my students is having different games and playing with them, you know, whether it be, you know, a physical activity, like, you know, even along the lines of Go Noodle, or kind of like a mental, you know, activity type game. I got a game for you. If you're up for one, are you up for one?
Absolutely.
Well, how do you
what
love
are
to
gonna play?
How do you love to play Two Truths and a Lie, Teacher Edition?
All right.
Well, as my guest, I must say that I'm going to let you go first, if you are ready.
All right. Okay. All right. I left teaching to go practice family law.
Okay.
I have three other family members who work at Harnes Marsh with me.
Okay.
And I would like to become an administrator.
Okay, which one is the lie? I would have to go with law as the lie.
No, it's true.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So I do have a, you know, law degree. I went into teaching for 2 years. My old roommate from law school happened to be from Lee County, and he asked me to come and work at his law firm as a partner, and it was a family law firm. Now I'll tell you, I only made it about 3 months or so. My principal told me she held a job for me, and so I went back very quickly.
Oh, okay. Oh, I did not know. I did not know that. I knew about the family all being together at Harnes Marsh, because I met your wife and your brother. So I knew that one was true, and I kind of thought, but the law one kind of seemed a little bit like that might be a fib. So, okay.
So I was a little tricky there. So I had two other family members at Harnes Marsh. So it's my brother and wife. It's not three. So.
Oh. Gotta pay attention to detail.
Right.
That's it. See, shows you, like, I'm a hypocrite. I tell the kids pay attention to detail and then I don't. Go figure. Okay. Well, here. All right. Let's see. Two truths and a lie. All right.
Okay.
I was a member of the Florida Department of Education Race to the Top committee for selecting and voting on and implementing the value added model that teachers have all come to know and love in the state of Florida. I once taught a pair of identical twins who decided to flip-flop identities for the day, and one would respond as the other student to confuse me. I once had a kindergarten student light matches in her desk.
Oh my goodness. I think from prior conversations, I think you may have worked and did some work with the value added model that we all love.
Of course.
I think the lie would be that you had the kindergarten student like matches in her desk.
So that is actually true.
Is it really?
It is, yep. But I have had identical, I thought identical twins, but mom was kind enough to make them wear different colored sneakers so I could tell them apart. And that was also when I taught kindergarten years and years ago at Harnes Marsh Elementary School. And then I was like, I never want to have identical twins in my room again because it's stressful to remember the shoe color. So that one actually true. So I had them, but never would they flip off the identity. So that was a lie. But the match story is actually true. So I had once again, a kindergarten student. It was a different year, same school, where I was teaching one day and I smelled smoke in the classroom. And I'm thinking, why does it smell like smoke in this classroom? So of course, naturally, I thought maybe something's coming from outside. I go and I look, and being a kindergarten teacher at the time, instead of opting for the round tables that you typically see in a kindergarten classroom, I had requested that my
Right.
students have a desk, that I'll have desks, little desks. So the student had found the book of matches on the floor in her parents' car, took
Oh my
said
gosh.
matches, hid them inside her desk, and then she was lighting the
Oh.
matches and blowing them out while I was teaching.
Wow.
Yes, true story, hand to God. Thank God that I was able to quickly, realize this and confiscate the book of matches and then inform, my administrator what had happened. And the fortunately nothing was, set on fire and within the desk or in the
Sure.
classroom or, burned down my classroom or the building. But true
Right.
story, yes, very much so. What I did not wish to experience, especially as a new, a new teacher and an experienced teacher, but one that I did experience nonetheless.
Sure.
Yes.
Man, I can imagine having to go through that as a new teacher.
Yeah, they don't give you that in Apple's training
Right? Yeah,
for how to handle that
exactly.
scenario. There's Harry Wong doesn't address that one in his book.
We're gonna have to put that in year 2 through 5 program.
Exactly. Please spread that. Whoever's listened to the powers that be, please include at least a chapter or part of a chapter on what happens when kids take matchbooks and light them in their desk. Well, I gotta say, Stephen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast tonight. And really, I love the things that you're doing at your school and with your administrator and your team, and the way that you support educators and network and connect with them beyond your own school. Once again, through being a Golden Apple recipient, a Teacher of the Year, it's just pretty remarkable things that you have accomplished and that you continue to accomplish, and I know you will accomplish moving forward.
Sure. Thank you so much, Joe. I think I've always kind of looked up to you as an educator and as a person as well. I still remember waking up to your Facebook post, "It's time to rise and shine." You'd be at the gym early in the morning, and so I'm glad that we were able to kind of come together to do this.
Thanks. It's been a while. Yeah, the two little kids at home kind of put a halt to that. But I'm glad that I could inspire when when motivated myself. Who knows, right?
Sure.
It's summer's coming up and bathing suit season, so maybe you'll see some of this post again in the future.
There
Some
we go.
early morning motivation over there. That'll get up, the community pool. Well,
Right.
it has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to seeing what you do, moving into the next school year and beyond. And I would love to have you again as a guest on this podcast. For those out there that are listening, really, you should be keeping an eye out for this guy, amazing educator, Stephen McGinley, Karnes Marsh Middle School District of Lee County. This is the No Frills Teacher Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Camps.